Sain, Shrimad Bhagavatam,
Canto 10, Chapter 86. What is Chapter 86 entitled?
Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, which is the devotees.
And tonight we'll go from text 21 to 40. So, this is a beautiful chapter. We're hearing about Bahulashva and Shrutadeva and their reciprocation with Krishna, their relationship with Krishna. So, very relishable section of the 10th canto. Okay, so text number 21. Simply by glancing at those who came to see him, Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the three worlds, delivered them from the blindness of materialism. As he thus endowed them with fearlessness and divine vision, he heard demigods and men singing his glories, which purify the entire universe and destroy all misfortune. Gradually, he reached Videha. Atish, you want to read them?
Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami raises the logical question of how the ordinary people along the path could even see the Lord, since not only were their eyes covered by ignorance, but the Lord's chariot was traveling faster than the wind. Supplying the answer, Srila Jiva indicates that Dr. Krishna's special grace of mercy empowered every one of them with the devotional purity required for entering into his association. Otherwise, he would have remained outside the scope of their power to see, as he himself states in his instructions to Uddhava, Bhaktyaham Ivya Grahes, I can be perceived only by devotion. By the grammatical rule of compound formation known as Ekashesh, the terms ta, vikshana, vinastat, visra, dhikveya, although in its primary sense implicated as a masculine noun, may be understood in this context as referring to both men and women.
Okay. So, any points there?
We could be praying to the Lord to the Son on the lands.
Good. Any other points? As mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Nectar of Devotion, that prema or bhava bhakti can be aroused in different ways. It can be aroused by the mercy of devotees, association of devotees. In other words, our spiritual advancement is dependent upon the association that we receive. How much we advance is according to how much association we receive and how advanced the association is. So you can only reach the level of the association that you are receiving. It actually indicates in the Shastra that if one gets to a point where he begins to surpass the level of advancement of his own guru, then he can take permission from his guru to then approach another personality who can then lead him further. But one must seek permission, and then one can go further. So generally, we receive bhava or prema bhakti through association. Well, actually, it's always by association. But specifically, in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says sometimes Krishna himself will allow the devotee to advance to the level of bhava or prema through his direct kripa. Means it's coming directly from Krishna himself. Not even from another party, but directly from Krishna. So this is one example. And specifically, Jiva Goswami specifically mentions here in the commentary that this is an example of Krishna lifting people by his association, just by his glance. They were just seeing him. Now, the point is made that Krishna is traveling a long distance. He's going from Dwaraka across to Mithila, Videha. So, which part of India is that?
Bihar.
Yeah, Bihar. And it extends into Nepal. So it's like it's a province which was previously there. Now things have changed. Now we have different borders, geographical borders, which are mapped out. But previously it was a state, a province. And Krishna has traveled all the way across India. And the commentary says he's traveling at the speed of the wind. Sometimes there's speed of mind, speed of wind. Krishna's traveling extremely fast. So because whenever Krishna performs his pastimes, his achinchi shakti is serving him. So that means inconceivable things are always taking place whenever Krishna performs any lila. And it's always inconceivable because you can't do what he does. Now he's doing one thing and then the second thing is happening simultaneously. They're contradictory, and he reconciles those contradictions. That's achincha shakti. That's why it says achincha veda, veda tatva. Inconceivable. Krishna is inconceivable, what he does. So he's traveling at the speed of the wind, traveling at the speed of the mind, and simultaneously, everyone is seeing him along the way. How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
How can someone go past you? It's like someone driving a Ferrari or a Formula One car, 300 kilometers an hour going past, and simultaneously you see them look at you, they smile. So Krishna, it says that whenever he sees the devotee, he smiles and he glances with loving affection. Now we've heard from other descriptions, Krishna's eyes are always pinkish. Oh. So why are they always pinkish?
Because of
his emotions, right? Because when you have deep affection for someone, as soon as you see them, your eye moistens, right?
Mm.
And actually, that's a symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Guru Govinda Swami, His Holiness, always emphasizes. he would say in his if you listen to his lectures, right, again and again and again, to me the most prominent point. Which comes out, he says, you must learn to cry for Krishna. Right? And he would say in Bhubaneswar, that he's telling, he said, we have opened a crying school where everyone's going to learn how to cry for Krishna. Now it sounds sentimental. Actually, the word sahajiya, we always use that with a negative connotation. We say, oh, the sahajiyas. Right? And we always say, oh, but actually the word is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's used in with a positive connotation. It means one who is emotional, one who is sentimental. It's wanted. It's actually the goal of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada himself says in the Nectar of Devotion, one has to learn to cry for Krishna while chanting the holy name. If you're chanting the holy name, the Bhagavatam says, if you're chanting the holy name and tears do not come from the eyes, your heart is steel framed. The Bhagavatam says. So we chant, tears don't come from our eyes. That means there are problems. It means there's work to do. Serious work. And there has to be a point in your Krishna consciousness where you get serious about spiritual life. And most of us have not come to that point as yet. But at some point you have to. My Shiksha Guru, Burujan Guru. So he was telling one time that he was at Jagannath Puri. And for most of us, we cannot enter into the mandir. Has anyone been in to the mandir? See Jagannath? Some of you have. Yeah, you can go in. But we can't go in at this point. So then there is Patita Pavan Jagannath. Right? When you look through the Simadwara, he's there. And Madhavananda Prabhu wrote a whole magazine just about Patita Pavan and Jagannath. So you take darshan of him, it is the same as taking darshan of Jagannath inside the temple. The same, non-different. You get the same benefit. Actually, we don't have to worry because Prabhupada brought Jagannath right here. That's the same as being in Jagannath Puri. There's no difference. So Burujan Prabhu was saying that one time he was in front of Patita Pavan of Jagannath, means looking through the Simhadwara, having darshan, and he said, and it always stuck with me, that he said, he prayed to the Lord, I'm tired of this pretense. I'm tired of all these years of devotional service, and I still haven't got the goal. Yeah, and until we get to that point where we seriously lament that we have not made sufficient advancement, we're not going to make sufficient advancement. If we're talking about attaining bhava, prema, bhakti, which is the sadhya, or the goal, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, we're not going to get there unless there is an intense desire in the heart which manifests. So this is the goal, but it takes a great deal of work. However, if you were supremely fortunate and you happen to be in between Dwaraka and Mithila, and Krishna went past on his chariot at the speed of the wind, but simultaneously appeared to be going slowly, and stopped and looked at you. Now it says that Krishna's eyes are always pinkish. Why? Because he has emotion when he sees the devotee. When he sees the devotee, tears come to his eyes. And all the devotees in the spiritual world, right, in Goloka Vrindavan, similarly have the same tears. Right? Everyone's eyes are moist constantly because there's great affection, there's great emotion. So we have to see, as we progress in spiritual life, particularly through our chanting, right, our tears coming to the eyes. That's the goal. Okay, we don't have that yet, right? And it's something which we're aspiring to, and it's not something which can be artificially had. I remember when I was a new devotee, I'd been a devotee 1 or 2 years, and, you know, I'm reading Nectar of Devotion. And I got up very early in the morning, must have been like 3:30 in the morning or something, and then I'm reading. I read before I began my chanting. And then I was reading Nectar of Devotion, and then, you know, Prabhupada said, you know you're advancing when tears are coming and tears should be the goal. So I thought, okay, that's it. Now I'm only going to chant with tears in the eyes. But it doesn't happen artificially, automatically. You can't just say, okay, from now on. So I started chanting and I was thinking, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But tears are not coming. Not like that. Right? It has to come from the deepest place within your consciousness. Right? It has to come from your heart. The heart of the soul, actually. So it is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So it says that when Krishna went past, he was lovingly glancing at the devotees and smiling mildly, which is generally what he does. He just smiles very mildly. He also smiles very broadly also, but, you know, most of the time he's just smiling very mildly. And then, you know, there's always something about to manifest. You know, when Krishna looks at you, something's about to manifest. In Vrindavan, there's a saying, if you go there now and you speak to the bridge bussies, they have many sayings, but one of their sayings is, no joke, no life. That's Vrindavan. These are like sutras to make us understand, actually to understand Vrindavan. That's why you need to associate with the bridge bussies when you go there. No joke, no life. These are sutras. It's actually the essence of Vrindavan. Krishna's joking continuously. It's like it never stops. And they're doing the same to Krishna. His friends make him cry sometimes. You know, they give him such a hard time that he cries. You know, sometimes they say to him, how come you're blackish? Your father's not blackish. How come you're blackish? Maybe he's not your father, you know, and this is upsetting for Krishna. And then, you know, his friends, they won't stop. He begins to cry. And he has to go to his father and says, why is it that it is like this? So this is the nature of the rasa. So it describes that just by the glance of Krishna, and this is rare, this is extremely rare. You know, somehow we missed out. We were not there when Krishna went past last time. And if we had have been, and we had have been in the right state of consciousness, then just by that glance, Krishna can give you bhava, he can give you prema. Just by that glance. He can lift you automatically. Right? It says in the Sanskrit here, it says, to the platform of fearlessness. That's another symptom of advancement. You know you're advanced when you're actually fearless. We're not talking about, you know, a superficial level of consciousness, but actually fearless. Like Prabhupada was, Abhaya and Charanaravinda, A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami. Actually fearless in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was like that, fearless in Krishna consciousness. We're not like that. We're scared of many things. What's the thing we're most scared of?
Death.
Yeah, we're scared of death. You know you're advancing Krishna consciousness when you are not scared of death. When you're actually not fearful, then you know you're advancing. Right? And one day we will have an experience where death will be brought very close to us, and we will see it'll be like a measure of our consciousness. I remember my Guru Maharaj, he had cancer in 1997, I think it was. And it was, you know, 4 or 5 years before. And I remember when he was informed, he actually said, he said he himself was surprised how comfortable he was with it. He was surprised. Because, not, you know, these are big things in our life. And it tests us. You know, it's all, we all say, oh, we're not the body. We're the soul. And, you know, we're Krishna's eternal servants. And I'll do anything. No, but when it actually comes to it, you will see what happens in your consciousness. And he said he was surprised how comfortable he was. By following the process for so many years, then you become fearless. So Krishna's glance can make you completely, actually fearless of death. It can raise you above the bodily, the ignorance of the body, the avidya, which contains us all in this material world. And it specifically says that in the commentary that Krishna Chakravarti Thakur mentions that both men and women were attracted to Krishna by the glance. So as Krishna went past, right, he was glancing, right, and he was awakening one's eternal relationship with Krishna. An example of this, there are many examples, but one example is the sages of Dandakaranya forest. They saw Lord Ramachandra. So when they saw Lord Ramachandra, they became conjugally attracted to Lord Ram, but they had a male form. Because from the platform of the soul, they were attracted to him. But Lord Ramachandra could not fulfill their desire because he had taken that vrat, ekapatni vrat. He would only marry one person. So he said, you come in the next lifetime, and then I can fulfill that desire of yours. So then many of those sages of Dandakaranya, they became gopis, sadhakas, gopis, and they were able to associate with Lord Krishna. So just by going past Krishna smiling, bhava, which means sentiment towards Krishna, awakened in males and females. In the males, it may have been conjugal, in which case then they would have had to have changed their form. There are many examples of these things. Even if we go back earlier in the 10th canto, there is when the pastime of Krishna with the Jagyapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas. So many of them had to give up their bodies, because even they had female bodies, but it wasn't the right body to associate with Krishna in terms of a conjugal relationship. Krishna in his lila, he doesn't have conjugal affairs with wives of Brahmanas. No. He only has conjugal affairs with wives of cowherd men. They have to be in a very particular mood to associate with Krishna. It's an interesting point. Even the wives of the Brahmanas could not directly associate with Krishna conjugally. They had to burn up that form and then take birth as gopis in Vrindavan. So that's the highest goal of Krishna consciousness, to take birth as a gopi in Vrindavan. It's a very particular mood in Krishna consciousness, a very particular mood. And in order to take birth in that particular situation, you know, if we aspire, then you have to be internally in your sadhana, you have to be completely fixed on cultivating that mood. My Shiksha Guru, who said that to me one time. You know, we were discussing about, you know, where you will go and those things. And attaining, you know, the ultimate goal of associating with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. He said, your mood has to be very specific. It has to be specific. I mean, this is a higher level of sadhana. But, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, said, after 15 or 20 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, you internally should become interested in these things. Be specific. Like that. These things are not to be spoken of publicly or externally. You know, you don't go up to the devotee and say, so which rasa are you trying to cultivate? You can't cheapen these things. No. Because, you know, we have to actually be qualified, have the atika, to understand these things. Otherwise, you cannot understand them. So it is very specific. So as he went past on the chariot then, he awoke within all the people who saw him, their eternal relationship. So it's a very rare thing. Generally, it does not happen like that. Most likely, it will not happen to us like that. Most likely, we will have to associate with the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees who have lopa, who have greed within their consciousness, and by that association, nityam bhagavata sevaya, then we will uplift. Any points so far?
I thought Krishna's eyes are pinkish, because he's not worried about the devotees only, because these, some of them, they're ignorant of the, but I think he's so kind, he's, you know, he's loves everybody.
Yeah, his eyes are pinkish, it means the white of the eye is pinkish.
Yeah.
What color is the pupil?
Black.
No, not black, that's the center. What's the pupil?
White.
What color is Krishna's eye?
Brown.
Dark brown. Dark brown, yeah. Very beautiful dark brown.
It's not pinkish, baby.
The white part is pinkish. not the middle part, the iris is... Yeah, same as our eyes, black in the middle, and then we have a color around. So that color around is a dark brown that Krishna has. And then pinkish around the edges, like that. And Srimati Radharani's eyes, what color?
Blue.
Yeah, dark blue. They're very dark blue. It's very striking. You know, sometimes you go to India or Braj, especially amongst the Gujaratis. You know, they come on, Parikram to Vrindavan, you know, when, in Kartik time. So that's very striking, you know, very beautiful, people. And then, generally most people from India, 90%, 99% have like a brownish color eye. It, occasionally you get one like a blue or a green. It's striking. It's absolutely breathtaking. So it gives us an idea what Radharani would be like. Like a striking dark blue. So, any other points?
So, here it's mentioned that Lord Krishna glanced at people and basically they lost their material blindness and materialism, which is what sort of mentioned.
Yeah.
But when we see in the past tense of Lord Krishna, not everyone benefited in that sense. And here it specifically says just by his glance, when people lost their materialism.
Because Krishna has the power to deliver prema just by his glance. Right? Krishna could take us all out of the material world right now, if he wanted. He'd say, all of you now, just by his potency, back to Goloka. Or he could just glance at us, and all of us would just develop prema, all of our ignorance is destroyed, and we could go back to the spiritual world. Generally, he does not do that. Generally, because he wants you to make the choice. But occasionally, in his pastimes, then by his direct association, some jivas get the benefit of developing prema. It also happened in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's mentioned that when he was traveling through South India, just by seeing him, people would develop prema. And people who saw those people, it said, also sometimes develop prema.
Is it that we have to be receptive in terms of receiving that, or is it something this causeless mercy of Krishna just
It can be whatever Krishna desires. If Krishna desires, even an unqualified person can be uncovered. Right. It generally means the people are favorable, generally. Any other point?
Was Buddhism praying to Lord Jagannath for his mercy?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
Yeah, if you go to Jagannath Puri, you can see.
But they're not there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fortunate. And then on, you know, I mean, the last few days they had Ratha Yatra. Yeah, Ratha Yatra was only 4 or 5 days ago in Puri. So, I mean, we could watch it live. You can see Jagannath directly. Or if you're there, some Melbourne devotees were there, they actually saw Jagannath directly. There's many ways to see Jagannath. Hearing that Lord Achyutya had arrived, or king, the residents of the cities and villages of Videha joyfully came forth to receive him with offerings in their hands. So this is a Vedic cultural point, that when a guest comes, you have to receive them correctly, adequately, which means you have to give them whatever facility you can, as much facility as you can offer. And we'll see later in this section. You know, as much as you can give, then you have to give. That's the Vedic culture. You know, someone is coming, just like, just stop happening. If someone is coming to your home, then you have to receive them to the best of your ability. So this is a Vedic culture. So you'll see here in this section, we see how to receive a guest. I mean, the actual standard is chandan and garlands, argya. Right? You offer a lamp, you offer aarti. You know, generally, we don't receive people like this. So at least we have to do the minimum, which is there, which will be discussed as we go through this section. But you see, the Bhagavatam is teaching his Vedic cultural points. And this is why deity worship is so important for grihasthas, because when you worship the deity, you offer the different upachars, right? The different items that you offer. So, you know, generally we offer a minimum of 5 when we're worshiping the deity, but then there are 16 as mentioned. And then there are more elaborate lists. This is a way to teach us and to imbibe into our consciousness the Vedic culture. Because like if you're worshipping Shalagram Shila elaborately, like we do in the temple, then there'll be at least 16 upacharas. So it means you'll very elaborately worship the deity. Right? This is teaching us how to culturally receive a guest properly. So because of, you know, whatever circumstances, we don't always offer all these things when a guest comes to our home, but at least we should understand the culture. And then, you know, once again, this is one reason why, which gives us an impetus to take birth in the spiritual world, because then we can do all these things. These things are daily occurrences. They offer an elaborate system of receiving Krishna every day. In his own home. So that's why, you know, if we go to the spiritual world, we can take advantage of these things, avail ourselves of these things. Here in the material world, you don't get to experience those things so much.
What about gifts? Do you bring gifts also?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Krishna only wears his clothes once. So whenever he wears something, then he gives it to his friends. And they wear it as prasadam. And then they're always giving him fresh cloth. Even multiple times a day, Krishna changes cloth. Like it mentions that if he bathes in the Jamuna or Radha Kund or like that, then afterwards, they offer fresh cloth. So he gets that, he puts on all fresh cloth again, and then he goes to the next pastime, and then, you know, if there's another pastime where he takes bath or like that, then fresh cloth is offered. The Lord never puts on the same clothes twice. Yeah, we put on the same clothes. Yeah, I've had this dirty for a couple of years or whatever.
Uddhava wears his clothes.
What's that?
Uddhava.
Uddhava, yeah. Uddhava only wears Krishna's remnants. He won't wear anything else except Krishna's remnants. Okay. As soon as the people saw Lord Uttama Shloka, their faces and hearts blossomed with affection, joining their palms above their heads. They bowed down to the Lord and to the sage accompanying him, whom they had previously only heard about. Samahatma Sudulava. Bhagavad Gita says, to find a great soul is rare. It's not that great souls, advanced devotees, are just walking around everywhere. And in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then Rupa Goswami, he mentions 64 angas of bhakti. But after mentioning 59 angas, then he repeats five again. Right? He picks out five of the most important, the most powerful of the all the items of bhakti. So one of the items he picks out is Sattva Sangha. Right? And he says these five are so powerful they can produce bhava even in a neophyte. Right? Even in someone who's not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Just by contact of these five, one of them or all of them, right, then you can very quickly advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? They're so powerful. So specifically, when Sattva Sangha is mentioned, Jiva Goswami, when Jiva Goswami comments on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says specifically this means advanced devotees, Sattva Sangha. Any association is good. But if you get advanced association, that is rare, and that is what has the greatest effect on your advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if you look at your own spiritual journey so far, you know, I can see for myself, it's by advanced association, which is the greatest impetus for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. It carries us very swiftly. You can make a rapid advancement. So it is a rare thing to receive. So that's why when advanced devotees come, you associate with them. And you take advantage. You know, I got this realization about my Guru Maharaj, you know, not long before he left the world. I mean, I always tried to associate with him as much as I could, but then I had a very strong realization. You know, that I have to get as much association now as I can. It was only a couple of years before he left. So then I flew all the way from Melbourne to Oxford in England. You know, and I spent 3 or 4 days with him. And that was only, I didn't know, that was only less than 6 months before he left this world. Yeah. So Krishna gave me some realization that I needed to get that association. And it's that association which carries us and is the greatest impetus for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's a rare opportunity. So it's not these devotees are always there, and don't think that those devotees are always going to be there. You know, our gurus, more than likely, most of our gurus are going close to their 70s now. You know, Jagadaka Swami just turned 70. Right? And most of them are like 60. Like, you know, there's not a lot of time left. That's the reality. You know, you go to Mayapur, you see the Samadhi pit. It's growing. Right? The gurus are not going to be, so you have to take as much advantage as you can. Right, while they are present. Prabhupada said, Vani is more important than Vapu. But my Guru Maharaj, he told me. Because, like, you know, we were discussing, and but he said that there's something you cannot replace with Vapu. Vani doesn't replace Vapu. Okay, it's more important because it's always there, but it doesn't replace Vapu. If the Guru is physically present, you get the association as much as you can. If the advanced devotee is there, you associate with them. Because that will lift you in your Krishna consciousness. So that is the essence of spiritual life. So these great souls have come with Krishna. It's a rare opportunity. Right? And Bahulasya and Shrutadev, they're receiving those great souls. Why? To get their association. Right? We don't just invite advanced souls to our house, just feed them prasadam, that's it. No, you have to get their instructions. Any points? Both the king of Mithila and Shrutadev fell at the Lord's feet, each thinking that the spiritual master of the universe had come there just to show him mercy. So why did Krishna come all the way?
To give him mercy.
My blood.
But why did he? Why did he travel? Why wasn't the other way around?
Because they were supposed to, in the area, they were supposed to do their deity worship in their own area.
He's
controlled by the love of the deities.
Yeah, he's controlled by the love, but it's pointed out in the beginning of the chapter. Normally, they would have gone to Dwarka. You don't expect the great soul to come to you. You don't expect Krishna to come to you. You go to Krishna. Krishna's there. They should have made a pilgrimage across to Dwarka. Why didn't they do that? Because they've both taken a vow that they would not leave their deities. They were performing nitya seva. Every day, serving the deity. So strong was their devotion and dedication that the deity came from Dwarka to them. It's an incredible pastime, actually. I was preparing the class today, I was studying today, and it's an incredible pastime. It's the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe Shrutadeva Bahalashwar, they may or may not be, we don't know what their rasa is with Krishna. So they may or may not be the most exalted devotees. We don't know because it's not specifically mentioned what their feeling towards Krishna was. But the fact that Krishna himself has traveled thousands of kilometers to see them shows the power of their devotion. That is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we've said many times, where is the first time that we see Krishna in the Bhagavatam? Which chapter? So which chapter is that?
Chapter 7.
That's the first time you see Krishna in the Bhagavatam. As Partha Sarathi. He's driving the chariot of Arjuna, the first time you see him. That is his preferred position, serving his devotees. He serves Bahavasra and Shrutadeva. He travels across India to see them. That's the power. And they're both feeling, we are so fortunate that the Lord has come. It's their devotion. And actually, in the next few verses, they say that he gets the realization, Bahalashra, I think it's Bahalashra, he gets the realization, I must have unalloyed devotion. Not in a proud way, he's not saying, I'm a great devotee, but he's saying, I must have unalloyed devotion because the Lord has reciprocated. Yayatam mam prapajante. That's how we know where our devotion is, as much as Krishna reciprocates. So if Krishna is reciprocating that much, that means their devotion is fixed in his service. And that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. We become fixed in our service. Srila Prabhupada, all this is, Melbourne Temple is rare because there's only several places in ISKCON where you have the actual facility where Prabhupada lived. There's only several places, LA and Juhu, Vrindavan, Mayapur. Then where else? There's not that many.
Zurich.
Hawaii, is it?
The Manor.
The Manor, the Manor is Prabhupada's own. And here, Melbourne. Prabhupada writes about Melbourne in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Purports. He says, LA, Juhu, Manor, and then he says Melbourne. He mentions Melbourne. This was very dear to Prabhupada. The first time Prabhupada walked in this room, his eyes lit up like a little boy. He said, is all this for me? And it's quite an opulent room. First time he walked in, Prabhupada said, is all this for me? Like a young boy. So he had pastimes here, Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to sleep in that room, just there, the next room across. He used to have massage in the temple president's office straight across from there. And so Prabhupada was walking, he took bath in there. These are all the places. You see there's a video where Prabhupada's sitting right there. You can see here the picture Prabhupada used to take with someone right here. You can see that picture, Prabhupada's playing harmonium right there. You can see there's videos where Prabhupada putting tilak on right there. And he would have darshan here. Okay. So this special place. So one time, the temple president, the previous temple president, Balaram Prabhu, he was here with Prabhupada in, up in one of these rooms. He said to Prabhupada, what is the qualification for someone to take second initiation in ISKCON? Brahminical initiation. And what was Prabhupada's answer? Yeah, he must be steady. Right? That's how we know. If someone is to get Brahminical initiation, they must be steady, fixed. Right? Approaching the platform of Nishtha. Nishtha means steady. Now, if you don't become steady in your devotional service, how will you understand higher things in Krishna consciousness? Right? If you can't be a steady devotee, how are you going to understand all the higher things? Sometimes devotees, they try to go to the higher things too quickly. But if you're not steady and fixed, how will you understand any of it? So here, because of their devotion, they were so steady, they were so fixed, they would not even leave their deities, so then the deity came for them. Any points? At exactly the same time, King Maitila and Shrutadev each went forward and joined palms and invited the Lord of the Dasharas to be his guest, along with the Brahmana sages. Wanting to please them both, the Lord accepted both their invitations. Thus he simultaneously went to both homes, and neither could see him entering the other's house. So in the commentary, this is described as Vaibhav Prakash. What does that mean? It means that Krishna can expand himself, and each of those forms has all the potency of the original form. When Krishna expands himself, like the example is the Rasa Lila. Right? So when Krishna expanded himself in each of those forms, it was the same Krishna. It has all of the same potency. Right? It's not that there is a lessening of potency as he expands. Of course, the original form is very special. This is the original form. If the Rasa Lila is taking place, where is the original form? Yeah, next to Srimati Radharani. That's how you know. If you want to find the original form, you just look for Radharani, that is where the original form is. And then the Vaibhav Prakash means the forms are non-different, but still there's something very special about the original form. But each form has the same potency. So then Krishna, he expanded himself equally, and then he went to both places simultaneously.
They were in different locations, right? Both his devotees?
Yeah. They had different houses, different...
But in the same city or different cities also?
Same city.
Same city?
Yeah. They both lived in the same place.
Same thing here, but it's 16,000 forms. When he was in...
Yeah. He expands himself in all those unlimited forms. So, even though he expands himself like that, every devotee gets the benefit of his association. This is an important point to understand. Mother Jagatarini, every year for the last 15 years or so, then at the end of Kartik, I go to the holy name retreats with Burujan Prabhu and Mother Jagatarini and Satchinandan Swami. So Mother Jagatarini, I remember she said many years ago, she was explaining this point. When we go back to the spiritual world, if we get to go back and to associate with Krishna in Goloka, sometimes we may think, naturally, will I actually get his association? Because it describes when he performs the Rasa Lila, there's 3 billion gopis. And we aspire to be an assistant of the gopis, not even someone who enters the Rasa dance directly, but to assist. So there must be millions and billions of assistants. And then Krishna at the end of the Rasa dance, then he will go to a private place, a kunja, and he will associate with Radha or the different gopis. And then we may think, well, will we ever get to do direct service or intimate service? Mother Jagatrini has explained to us that through Krishna's Achintya Shakti, his Vaibhav Prakash, then he can be in so many places simultaneously, and all the devotees, just a few of them, can intimately be serving Krishna in those intimate pastimes. And then he can be fulfilling the same desires of another devotee in another kunj, without them being aware that Krishna is also there, and then unlimitedly he can be doing the same thing. So we can all get the association. None of us have to feel that we are going to miss out if you go to the spiritual world. If you have that desire to serve Krishna intimately and directly, then Krishna will fulfill that. So you see here, he went with Shrutadeva, he went with Bahulashwa, and both of them received his association directly.
The same thing he did when he was born.
When he went to Gokul.
Gokul also.
Yeah, and then his both forms were there. Which verse are we up to? 27. When King Bahulashwa, a descendant of Janaka, saw Lord Krishna approaching his house from a distance with the sages, who were somewhat fatigued from the journey, he immediately arranged to have seats of honor brought out for them. After they were all comfortably seated, the wise king, his heart overflowing with joy and his eyes clouded with tears, bowed down to them and washed their feet with intense devotion. Taking the wash water, which could purify the entire world, he sprinkled it on his head and the heads of his family members. Then he worshipped all those great lords by offering them fragrant sandalwood paste, flower garlands, fine clothing and ornaments, incense, lamps, argya, and cows and bulls.
Krishna traveled with quite a few sages with him, right?
Yeah.
So the sages did not duplicate, are they also duplicated?
They were also duplicated. Yeah, it's mentioned they were also duplicated. Yeah, a jiva can duplicate up to 9 times. Krishna can duplicate unlimitedly. So that's Krishna's ability. But if he wants to, he can also duplicate us. We can also have simultaneous forms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if they desire, they can have simultaneous forms in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna, like Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami, so like in those things, Lavanga, Manjari Sanatana Goswami. Yeah, so they can be simultaneously involved. If Krishna desires, if the devotee desires, then that can take place. When they had eaten to their full satisfaction, for their further pleasure, the king began to speak slowly and in a gentle voice as he held Lord Vishnu's feet in his lap and happily massaged them. Sri Bahulashwa said, O Almighty Lord, you are the soul of all created beings, their self-illumined witness, and now you are giving your audience to us who constantly meditate on your lotus feet. So Krishna understands the desires of every devotee. We all have desires. We all have spiritual desires. Krishna may fulfill our material desires, but he may not also. And the Bhagavatam specifically says, he will fulfill your material desires, but not in a way that you will ever ask for that thing again. That's kindness. He'll give you what you want, but you'll never ask for it again. That's one of Krishna's 64 qualities. He's a genius. They give you whatever you want, but you'll never ask for that thing again. Right? It'll be so unpleasant. What do we call that? Marriage. Because I'm very tired and I can't turn my head at this point. But Krishna gives you what you want. I want to marry this one, I want to marry that one. Krishna, okay, have it. But after 4 or 5 years, you think, my God, I made such a bad choice here. So this is the mercy of Krishna. He will fulfill your material desires, but you'll never ask for that thing again. But your spiritual desires, Krishna will fulfill all those things. But he may not give it to you immediately. It will take some time. Your spiritual desire means your deepest spiritual desires, your aspirations. Think about it. What is your deepest spiritual desire? What is your deepest spiritual desire? My deepest spiritual desire is to be with my guru once again. That's my deepest spiritual desire. But Krishna won't give that to me, because I'm not qualified. When I'm qualified, which means when my heart doesn't have impurities, Krishna will give me my guru's association again. But at this point in time, I don't have the adhika. So we are separated. Because actually Prabhupada says there is no separation. There is no separation. Time and space don't separate you from great personalities. We're separated because of our consciousness being impure. So when your consciousness is purified, then you can associate with those personalities again. So Krishna will fulfill those desires, but you have to become qualified so that he'll fulfill those desires. That's the point. Now, Krishna can fulfill all of our desires immediately. He'll take all of us back to Godhead right now. Is that what we really want? No. Otherwise, that would happen. We have other things we're still interested in this material world, either grossly or subtly. Grossly, we want to enjoy, or subtly, we want to taste recognition, pratishta, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is the strongest of all the weeds, which compete with bhakti. Pratishta is the main competitor. Just the desire for recognition. And we're happy to stay in the material world for lifetimes just to taste that. We will stay here happily for many lifetimes. As long as people are praising us, no problem. We'll stay here. It's not so bad. Everyone praises me, so what's the problem? But as long as you're attached to that, you can't go back to Krishna. Because when you get back to Krishna, only one person is to be glorified. And that's Krishna. That's the consciousness of everyone. And then because everyone is in that consciousness, then you can glorify everyone else as well. And there's no difficulty. But it's because everything is focused on Krishna. Right? And envy is dissipated. Because the Bhagavatam says from the very first verse, the first three verses, the Bhagavatam is for those who are near Matsara, free from envy. When you're free from envy, then you can associate with Krishna.
Okay. So, wanted the greatest kingdom than his grandfather, but Lord Krishna fulfilled his desire in such a way that after that he didn't want anything.
Yeah.
After seeing him. So, he asked the angel to desire to be fulfilled only once.
Yeah. And Krishna gave it to him, but in a way that he would never ask for it again.
He doesn't feel a sense of enlightenment.
Good point. You have said, neither Ananta, goddess Sri, nor unborn Brahma is dearer to me than my unalloyed devotee. To prove your own words true, you have now revealed yourself to our eyes. So Krishna reciprocates with the mood of the devotee.
11, verse
31. Did I not read it? 31? No, I read that. Did I read that right?
Yes.
So it is the mood of the devotee. Here it is saying Krishna's brother, Ananta, right? Krishna's wife, Sri, right? And Krishna's son, Brahma. But the devotee can be even more dear to Krishna. It depends on the mood. Right? Like Lord Balaram in his original form, he is the most dear to Krishna. Right? The only people who may be more dear to Krishna is Yashoda and the gopis themselves, but according to the mood of the devotee, then Krishna reciprocates with that mood. What person who knows this truth would ever abandon your lotus feet when you are ready to give your very self to peaceful sages who call nothing their own? Appearing in the Yadu dynasty, you have spread your glories which can remove all the sins of the three worlds, just to deliver those entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. Obeisances to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, whose intelligence is ever unrestricted. Obeisances to the sage, Nara Narayana, who always undergoes austerities in perfect peace. Please stay a few days in our house along with these brahmanas, O all-pervading one, and with the dust of your feet sanctify this dynasty of Nimi. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus invited by the king, the supreme lord, sustainer of the world, consented to stay for some time to bestow good fortune on the men and women of Mithila. Shrutadev received Lord Achyutya into his home with as much enthusiasm as that shown by King Bahulashwa. After bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shrutadev began to dance with great joy, waving his shawl. Alright, what does this mean? This means that ecstasy cannot be contained. When you become ecstatic, you know, sometimes we become ecstatic in a kirtan and a harinam, while we're taking prasadam, and then we become ecstatic. At that point, you can't really control yourself. Right? We'll all dance, like, you know, begin to dance and swing the chatter around our head, right? Because you're in ecstasy. Right? So at that point, everyone knows, and you're in it, and everyone else is in it. Everyone starts going wild and like that. So that is the point. So Bahulashri has just bathed the feet of Krishna, right? He's bathed the feet of the sages. He's in ecstasy. He just grabs his chatter, starts flying around, right? He's chanting. He becomes ecstatic. This is wanted. This is natural. Right? This is the eternal mood of the Pancha Tattva. Right? You read about the kirtans, right? When Lord Chaitanya would dance, the earth would rock. Right? Well, Lord Shiva dances. Everything begins. You know, sometimes in Mayapur, you go to Samantadvipa, and Lord Shiva would chant the name Gauranga, and he would begin to dance. Right? I remember Jai Pataka Swami telling this story. And Mara started going like, but then you start getting the impression of what Lord Shiva was like, you know, dancing in ecstasy. So this is the pastime. So when the devotee gets into this type of ecstasy, then. I could tell pastimes, but we don't have time. We had a kirtan here one time. Lord Nityananda's Tridashi. Don't tell any Rupa Rupa. This was this was like 26 years ago. This happened, but we became so ecstatic. The kirtan came outside, and we went upstairs here, and we danced in all the rooms, and we went into his office. We're dancing on his desk, and then. If you look around the outside of the temple, like up here on this level, there's like a thin ledge. It goes around the the building. So we were going along the ledge, like, you know, 18 feet off the ground. Like, because we're in so much ecstasy, we're just, and the kirtan was going the whole time, you know, we're just like going along the edge, coming through the window, then back down the stairs, and yeah, very ecstatic. And we're dancing out here, there's a balcony out here. Prabhupada used to walk on this balcony. We're having kirtan out here, and all the neighbors were on the other side of the road looking at us. And, so sometimes we just become ecstatic and all sorts of things happen. The Indridham Swami, every time there's a kirtan, it's like that. Things become. He was in Christchurch many years ago. It was like over 20 years ago. He was in Christchurch. And the kirtan was so ecstatic that Kala Sambhara Prabhu, some of you might know him, he's the temple president in Auckland now. The temple in Christchurch has windows, it's on the ground floor. They got the hose. Carlos jumped out the window, grabbed the hose, put the hose on. You know, the temple started filling up with water. And then devotees were sliding, like running from one end to sliding into the wall and then sliding back the other way. Like the kirtan just kept going. Indridham Swami's leaving the kirtan and it's like, yeah. So this is ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. After bringing mats of grass and darba straw and seating his guest upon them, he greeted them with the words of welcome. Then he and his wife washed their feet with great pleasure. Okay. So this is the point. When a guest comes, if you can't give them so much, at least give them somewhere to sit, some water and sweet words, and that is sufficient. And if you have more, then offer more. But the most important thing you offer to the guests is sweet speech. If you offer that, then even if you can't offer anything else, at least offer somewhere to sit and some water. With the wash water, the virtuous Shrutadev copiously sprinkled himself, his house, and his family. Overjoyed, he felt that all his desires had now been fulfilled. So Chaitanya Charitamrita said there are three items which are extremely auspicious in regards to worshipping the devotee. What are the three items? Yeah. So it means the Charitamrita, the water which has washed the feet of the devotees. Then? The dust which comes from the feet of the devotees. And then? Yeah, the remnants of these three, it actually says they have the ability to give prema. It means if you're in the right consciousness and the devotee is sufficiently qualified, then you can receive great benefit. So Shrutadev, then he washed the feet of Lord Krishna and the sages, and he took the water and began to sprinkle on everyone's head. Yeah, I remember my Guru Maharaj down in that room, we washed his feet. He arrived at the temple and the devotees came and we bathed his feet. And he actually leant down to me. The devotees were all having kirtan. And he said, sprinkle the water on everyone's head. Because he was teaching us, that is the etiquette. When a great soul comes, then you should. We don't do that so much in ISKCON now. But whenever the sannyasis used to come in the early 90s, we used to always have welcoming ceremonies and we would bathe our feet and sprinkle on everyone's head and like that. We don't do that so much now, it's a shame in some ways, but that's the way it is. Historically, it's turned out like that. We'll stop there for tonight. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.